And so they will do whatever it takes to get published. And if they have to totally do unrealistic things to do it, they will. And they've gone and they're studied in the peer review, highest prestige journals of, you know, this, how this drug did this. They go back and try to reproduce those. 70% of them, they can't reproduce at all. There are no results, like they said. They're basically just lies, BS. Science has become the state religion. And contrary to people's beliefs, the state and religion are always one. They always work together. And the fact that your religion maybe isn't the state religion doesn't mean that there isn't a state religion. And currently, science is sort of like the state religion. It's that same sort of control system. And that's what government's about. Government's about control. And certainly the corporate structures are into that too.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I am bringing back Ken the Scientist because we've had some listeners and some people concerned about C60, and some people are very outspoken lately about problems they think C60 can do to your cells and your body. And there's also was a recent study that was done. It was a computer simulation on C60 and some of the negative effects. And I wanted to bring Ken the Scientist on to counteract that and tell us what he thinks about that. And I think you will be happy to learn why he says it's all bogus and scientifically does, so that you can put your concerns to rest. It's a really good show. It's something we really needed to do to get this out there to people, especially since C60 is so good for you. We needed to address these concerns. And then we talk about 5G and how does 5G actually damage your cells? What is it actually doing and why is it bad for us? And then we move on to some other issues with the FDA and some of the things that they're trying to do. It's a really interesting conversation. And then he sticks around for my patrons, but this time he dives into some political military history that you haven't heard before. His father was really high up and in charge of parts of the Middle East during the Iran-Contra era, he was. And you get to hear what really happened during that time and some other things that really happened. Super interesting. So that's for my patrons only. It's only a dollar a month to be a patron. And of course, I want more because it's what supports the show. But if you can't afford it, let me know and you can still get this information for free. But really starts at a low price. And if you can afford more and you think I deserve more and the show, then please do that. But anyways, let's get into the interview now with Ken the Scientist. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Glad to be here.
Well, I had to have you back because I'm getting listeners, a few of them, who are concerned about C60 because there is a little bit of, I call it fake news, or we have to dive into it. Some of these things that they're saying about C60 that is potentially dangerous. And so I want to look at those details about it before I say it's fake news. Let's dive into it and prove that it is. So can you talk, there's a couple specifically, there's a YouTube video that's been going around about C60 and some people are talking about the problems with C60. And then there's also a test that's out there. Can we talk about what you're seeing with this YouTube video and the merit of, or why there's no merit to what they're saying?
Well, there's a couple of them out there. It all traces back to one particular person. I mean, the one I saw first was Galvin, a guy named Galvin. He's like a bodybuilder, and he had something, why C60 is toxic, and a clean liver is bliss. And he's an okay guy, and he loves his liver cleanses, but, you know, he was getting information from other people. And also, I guess he tried a C60 product in olive oil. I don't sell olive oil. And it didn't have any effect on him. And so he said, well, this doesn't work for me, blah, 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 so it can't possibly be real. But, you know, it's the product that you get. You know, like the stuff for C60 Purple Power, we have certificates of analysis for all of our oils, for the C60 itself, and then for the final product. We have an FDA-compliant facility, production facility. So, and we test all the final products. So we can actually get you, you know, you will know what you get because we're at that level.
Well, isn't there some other variables, too? Because into my research, I think it's what I'm seeing, that people that aren't having an effect might not be taking enough and keeping their body at homeostasis. And they might not know, you know, they don't know how much they're supposed to take, but if they're not taking enough to be at homeostasis, then they might not be seeing those effects.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely right. If you're just taking a few drops, and some of the directions that people give maybe aren't enough. Like we recommend like starting with a half a teaspoon, working up to a teaspoon. And I mean, if you're really working on like a health issue, you get a tablespoon. And it should be noted, like it doesn't matter whether it's avocado oil or coconut oil or olive oil or safflower oil or whatever oil you're using, C60, if you saturate your oil with C60, you're going to have pretty similar concentrations. So I'm not saying that a particular producer actually does that. We do, and I know several other producers do, but I can't guarantee other people's stuff, only in my own. And so that's just something to do. So yeah, if you don't take enough, you're not going to get the effects. And so there just needs to be a certain amount. I say like a teaspoon minimum.
Well, and even that could not be enough, depending. There's those things, those markers, you know, we talked to Max Champy. And,
oh, yeah.
And also Loretta Ivory, she had her eye issue, and they noticed that she had to weigh up her dosage. She took a whole little bottle they have, which is probably about a quarter of your size. She'd do that once every Sunday, the whole bottle. And that's when it shifted and her eyes started to get better.
Yeah, she did massive dosing. She did like, that's about 2 ounces right there that she takes. And I don't know if you need to take that much. I mean, we've had people with really serious health issues that they're, you know, I'm not going to say exactly what they were treating, but they did, by the way, treat it successfully. And you can imagine what that is, since I don't want to say that online. But yeah, they're doing like a month, an ounce a day sort of thing. And you need to take it also in a little tiny doses. You can't take it like just one big dose. I mean, that's okay. But if you take it in a bunch of small doses, then you can you get a way better effect. And yeah, if you're really dealing with a serious health issue that's life-threatening, you know, I have a lot of people, they do an ounce a day.
What they notice with these, they had those little marker things where you can test to see the saturation level. And basically, I mean, because the dosing is really difficult right now is what I'm hearing across the board. And they were able to test to see when you were fully saturated. And when you almost want, when you're sick, you want to get to that full saturation point for your own body.
Yeah, she had some sort of strips.
Urine strips. Yes.
And it would actually get so much it was coming out of the nephrons in the kidneys and now through the bladder. So, and then she could actually tell the difference and then it would go down. So, yeah, I mean, that's, she's super dosing.
Well, but that's what you want to do if you're really ill, right? You want to get up to that max amount until it starts to, your body gets rid of it because it's too much.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, about an ounce a day is enough to get there. I mean, I have some, especially it seems to be all doctors that do the super dosing and they experiment on themselves. I don't know what it is.
Well, that's awesome. That's great.
But but they do. They also say when you do like an ounce a day and a bunch of smaller doses, people almost go into this bliss-like state where they're just super happy, feel better than they've ever felt before. And the doctors could afford that much, so they were just doing a bunch of that. And that just kind of puts them in the happy zone. That's another side effect of really large doses of C60.
I'm going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about this amazing free set of videos that you can get. This is on Bible health secrets. And what you'll learn is the missing secrets that the Bible has stated for centuries and what our ancients knew, but we seem to have lost in modern science here and modern medicine. But you'll learn the power of faith and pray and radical healing. You'll learn about the essential oils in the Bible and modern uses. You'll learn about weight loss, answering Alzheimer's, secret to long quality living, and biblical solutions to post-trauma, mood disorder, including depression and anxiety. You'll also learn about autoimmune disease, Lyme disease, and other amazing biblical approaches. It's amazing that this was all in the Bible, and you can hear this stuff for free. I have the link below. So let's get back to our interview now. Well, but if you get to homeostasis and you're always there, then your body's just going to be really fine-tuning, which is a fun side effect. But, you know, we got off track here. We need to talk about some of these things that people are accusing C60 of.
Okay, yeah. Well, I traced it back. It goes, some guy named, I'm just going to read some here, Tony Panitoresco. And I don't know if you ever heard of him. He has this little site, and you never see his face, but he talks about stuff. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, he has probably good stuff, but he relies on other things. And it all comes down to this study. He found this study from nucleic acid research. And it was done by a bunch of Chinese guys that and basically what it is they said it was a computer simulation. And, you know, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? It's only a computer simulation. And what they did is you do your preconceived notions. And for instance, in their study, they said the preconceived notion, if DNA was a rigid body, right, then this would happen. Well, that's not true. You know, apologies to Mark Twain, but, you know, there's lies, damn lies, and computer simulations. And so it's just ridiculous. And so because DNA has, you know, who knows how many hundreds or thousands of resonances, you know, every second, and it's emitting and absorbing biophotons all the time. So DNA is the farthest thing from a rigid body. And they said, yeah, if our computer simulation puts DNA as a rigid body, then, yeah, there could C60 could damage DNA. But the problem is DNA isn't a rigid body. And what's even worse than this, there's a lot of stuff. Computer simulations are not real science. It's like hypothesis. You actually have to test what you say, you know, to come to your conclusions. You actually have to do real physical testing, not, you know, how many angels dance on the head of a pin or whatever they want to do. You know, it's not real science. It's bogus science. And the second thing is they know, those scientists know for sure that DNA is not a rigid substance, not a rigid body. But they put that in anyway. And the reason they did that is because if they didn't do it that way, they would have had nothing, no results in their computer simulation. Because I've done that stuff. I know what's going on. So it's dishonesty as well. But that's a real problem with science. People have with science is, you know, science is now become a commercial product. It's kind of a state-controlled system. And so, you know, you need to get published to get funding. And so they will do whatever it takes to get published. And if they have to totally do unrealistic things to do it, they will. And it's like, for instance, pharmaceutical studies of pharmaceutical drugs. They've gone and they're studied in the peer review, highest prestige journals of, you know, this, how this drug did this. They go back and try to reproduce those. 70% of them, they can't reproduce at all. There are no results, like they said. They're basically just lies, BS. And but of course, you know who's paying for that? Big Pharma is paying for that. How does it get through the peer-reviewed process of these exclusive special journals, you know, high-quality journals? Well, who's paying the journal people? So there's a really large corruption in science and even in material science, you know, which is, you know, various things like for computer chips and things. 25% of those can't be reproduced either. And this stuff is basically, we've gotten to a point of bogus science. There's no science behind this study. It's completely ridiculous. It's a computer simulation with completely unrealistic unrealistic, you know, inputs. And so there's no basis. I mean, there's many, many studies on animal models and toxicology studies trying to poison animals with C60, insane amounts. And they've never, ever had a negative result on that. So, I mean, you can look at the physical, real studies, and people need to read this stuff. That's another thing. People need to sit down and read the science studies. Is this a real physical study? Did they do actual testing? Or is it something that some guy just made up? Oh, I'll make a computer simulation, and it's just like whatever, you can do whatever it is. It's like a computer game. I can just change it and do whatever I want to make the outcome whatever I want it to be. It's not real science. It's kind of bogus. And that's where it came from. And, you know, it was sponsored by the National Science Foundation of China, which is kind of disappointing. I thought they had a little more integrity than trying to become like Americans or something, or American science stuff.
I did a thing on ethics with the science reports and things. And what we dug into is that the reports, the majority of them, if there's negative, they shelve them. So the negative never comes out, only the positive for what they're positive for what it is that, yes, their agenda is. And so it's so skewed. It just is what it is.
And part of it is the peer reviewed process. People always hear this peer reviewed science papers. Peer review didn't exist until after 1945. And it was basically imposed by the U.S. government and, you know, maybe the British government as a control on science. And who's doing the peer review? Well, people and agencies and departments which are sponsored by the government. So basically, if you don't go through our system, you're not going to get published. And so it was, you know, because this science has kind of become the state religion. And contrary to people's beliefs, the state and religion are always one. They always work together. And the fact that your religion maybe isn't the state religion doesn't mean that there isn't a state religion. And currently, science is sort of like the state religion. The guys in the white coat, they come on, tell you this is the truth, and you know you're supposed to believe them. They used to have the guys in the white collar. But you know, it's that same sort of control system. And that's what government's about. Government's about control, and certainly the corporate structures are into that too.
Yeah, you have to be careful, because if the reports or the test does not show the results that they want, they will shelve them and only show the tests that show what they want. And you have to be careful, because they might do things like create certain factors that totally throw off the test anyways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like what that simulation is.
Oh, yeah, they'll do that. They'll actually go, they'll do tests, and this has gone many times, so I'm not saying you can find it yourself. They'll do the study, and then they'll find negative results, and what they'll do is they'll just find, take all the people who had negative results and remove them from the study. They'll find some parameter. Oh, we're going to change this parameter so all those people are out. Lo and behold, it was like they had autism with vaccines, and it really affected a lot of black children, especially black male children. And so they just removed those children from the study. So, oh, it doesn't hurt children. Well, yes, it does. We just changed it so it doesn't look like
that's the anomaly. There's a TED talk that's really great. I don't remember the name of it, but it gets to the point of anomalies. They were using it more of finding a really positive anomaly. And what people do is if there's a graph that's perfect and then there's one outlier, they're like, oh, that's an anomaly, and they remove it.
Yeah.
But the point is, and they're trying to talk about how to become a much greater at something. Those are the anomalies that we should be studying. Not the average, because if we really want to be great, we study how come those anomalies are over there, because that's what we're striving for. And it's a great TED talk, and maybe I'll find it and put a link to it, but it's the same concept. That's what our science is right now. We remove anomalies, and in the fact of, in the case of black children, they weren't really an anomaly, but they are. There were a stat on the thing, black children, they're way down here or whatever, or way up here, because they had higher incidence. Well, let's remove them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's yeah, they're the ones we should be, an anomaly. We should be studying what about them is causing that huge change, you know, that huge thing.
Well, it's about the money. It's, they say, follow the money. It's all about the money. And, you know, a new drug could make billions for, it costs hundreds of millions to go through the process, but that's kind of a barrier they set up. So smaller companies can't be in it. And then, but you could say they could make billions off some drug, you know, they're going to make sure whatever science study goes there, and the people that publish the publications, they're all part of the system, and they get benefits for making sure they publish the good stuff for the pharmaceuticals. And I could go into also like the economics. They have the Chicago School of Economics, and like they will never they'll only publish pretty much anything that their own people do. And if you have like a brilliant paper or something, they won't ever publish it, because it makes, you didn't come from their school, so it doesn't make their school look good. They'll only publish like the most bland, boring things from other people's schools, and then they just reserve anything that's cool for their people if somebody from their own school produces it. So you get this self-selected thing.
But you see that everywhere. It's human
yes.
nature. So it's not even, and we have to be honest, people listening going, oh, they're just conspiracy. We're not, this isn't a conspiracy. We're talking about human nature and how things just happen to develop naturally. Humans do this naturally. Some people, you know, if they're trying to make money, they do it naturally too. It's this competitive, they get very competitive and they do things they're unaware. Most people aren't aware. There are certain people that are aware, and that's called sociopaths. They're doing it and they don't care.
Yeah.
Most people do it because their emotions and their competitive streak and their human flaws cause them to behave this way.
Yeah, and it comes down to your own personal judgment. I mean, you really have to step up to the plate these days. You can't trust the guys in the white coats anymore than you could trust the guys in the white collars. You have to actually look at the data yourself, read it yourself, and use your own mind and make your own judgment. I mean, it's the same thing. Look at vaccines. I mean, you look at the evidence yourself. Don't rely on somebody else to tell you, some expert somewhere. You have to look at it yourself. It's going to take brain. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of thinking. It's going to take energy, and it might even disturb you. But, you know, you need to, if you're going to do a health treatment, you need to research that health treatment. Does that chemotherapy really work? Maybe it doesn't. Radiation never works, but you know, you need to go out there and research it and make your own decisions. Don't rely on doctors or scientists or some expert. Sure, you can listen to what they say, and that's good, but you have to verify yourself and look at all the different things. Just go out there and do your own research. It's if you're not willing to do that, you're just never going to know anything.
You have to treat a doctor. This is what someone told me when my oldest was a baby and he had all these ear infections. And ever since then, she was so right. She said, Sarah, you're a business person. You have to treat a doctor like any other professional consultant you use. That's all they are for you, is an expert consultant. You take their information, see, and then treat it like anybody else. And ever since, I mean, she was so right, changed my perspective on it. And that's how you have to treat everything.
And you know, I mean, look at all the professions that were once poo-pooed or suppressed, like acupuncture and chiropractors and several others. I mean, now it's an accepted, I mean, 20 years ago, those are bullshit. They're not real. And today they're accepted medicines because they really do work and they do have positive results. And eventually they couldn't suppress it. They finally had to accept, yes, you know, chiropractors and acupuncture and a whole bunch of other ones actually do work, and we can't deny it anymore. So we have to accept you as a valid medical system.
Well, now, why do you think, doctors are so ill prepared for health? Like, they have one class on nutrition, and we know we're learning that nutrition is health, right?
I mean, oh, yeah.
It is the essence of health. C60 is part of that nutritional health thing.
Yes.
Now, are there sociopaths that know this and they purposely do it, or are we just a herd of ignorance?
Oh, well, part of it, you know, I've been around a few years, so some of my stuff's a little dated. But like 10 years ago, they did this study. They went and just talked to medical students going into medical school. And they asked them, why are you there? And 70s are like first year or second year students. And the 70% of them admitted they were going into medicine for the money. Right up front, 70% of them admitted that. The other 30% might have been doing it too, but at least they had the sense not to say that. So you know, it was an anonymous survey, But yeah, so 70% are going into medicine for money. And that's kind of a uniquely American thing, because in most countries, industrialized countries, if you go to a college, you'll actually be financed, or medical school. They will finance you, and you don't have massive debt when you get out. But then again, when you get out, you're working for, you know, the universal healthcare system, and you're not making a gigantic, fantastic income. So those people, if they're all about money and going into medicine for money, well, of course they're going to sell out to the pharmaceutical people, because if you sell you sell enough drugs, they'll give you a free trip to Hawaii or whatever it is that they do. I mean, that happens all the time. I've talked to doctors, I know other people, and it's just
ones realize when they're working with patients that this is a service job. I mean, I'm serving. I mean, my sister's a doctor, and I tell her how hard her job would be, because the best doctors are the ones that are really serving their clients. And it would be hard. And so the ones who are intellectually honest would change and become that. And that's probably the most vocal doctors now, talking about holistic medicine, mad about vaccines, all that stuff. You know, getting out of the professional together if they can't handle it, whatever. But the other ones just go for, those are the McDonald's drive-thrus that I can't stand.
Yeah, and it's just part of our, it's part of our society. I mean, it didn't used to be that way. We didn't have that. But, you know, anyway, I won't talk about decadence and declines of civilization and stuff. But, you know, it's part of that's kind of where we're at. I mean, it's just like picking your doctor. You better be careful. Get referrals, get references, and know that you're getting somebody that's real and not just, you know, a money grubber.
Well, that they care, and you're not going to be shoved through the drive-thru, right?
Yeah, well, we have all these HMOs. And they're just, oh yeah, they're terrible. I mean, they just, yeah, doctors are just treating, well, you know, you're just, yeah, it is like, yeah, it's like a drive-thru.
It's terrible.
Just,
yeah.
They don't even hardly see you. They just, you'd go in, oh, whatever, here, take the prescription, bye. You know, that's all they do.
Okay. Well, let's talk about 5G and how C60 can help. You've done some, since we last talked, you've really dove into the science on that. What's going on with 5G and our bodies? And how is C60 going to help deal with that?
Well, yeah, 5G is let me grab some of my stuff here. 5G, I mean, if you look at there's been over 20,000 studies that show negative effects of electromagnetic radiation, but that's a wide range, right? So, I mean, we need to define 5G. 5G means, G is just gigahertz. And so 5G is something from it's basically, a gigahertz is in the millimeter range. It's microwaves, basically. What you're dealing with is microwaves. It goes from about 0.6 gigahertz to maybe 5G will be in that bandwidth that they could potentially use, is up to like 78 or 100 gigahertz. Now, we all know about microwave ovens, right? microwave ovens heat up water, and that cooks your food. Well, so in the microwave bandwidth, the gigahertz bandwidth, water is very absorbent. So you get any water that the waves get attenuated, they get absorbed by the water molecules. So, and there's a few windows in that where water doesn't absorb as strongly. It still absorbs, but it's not as strong. And that's like 28 gigahertz. That's kind of what they want to put the 5G phone lines, because you can actually get some transmission. You might do 5G, could be different in a house because you might use a different frequency, maybe a higher bandwidth like 42 or something like that, because there's not as much moisture in a house. But so they want to use that 28 bandwidth, but, you know, water absorbs microwaves. And so they have a real, like, for instance, if you have a 5G, this is the problem with 5G too, beyond the health problems. Well, I'll get into those later. I probably should go on with the health problems rather than...
Yeah, let's talk about the health problems, and then let's get on into other issues, because, okay.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, the studies have found, like, DNA damage, electromagnetism, those things, cancer, heart disease, immune system suppression. One of the things about 5G in that area, it really impacts on the cell membrane. There's, like, gated calcium channels, which bring in calcium ions and let them out in various ways. Gigahertz affects those. There's a Dr. Martin Paul did this study and found that the calcium channels were like 5-7 million times more sensitive to the gigahertz radiation than they were to the actual ions themselves. So when you zap a cell with 5G or in that bandwidth, you get a lot of leakage of calcium out of your cell, which causes a lot of damage. That's your basically cells are bleeding out their ions, and that causes massive amounts of damage for the cell, and that's one of the reasons that damages that. Also, higher gigahertz can unzip DNA, you know, especially when DNA is, and we even see this in the 4G stuff, because, you know, especially like kids, you know, you always hear the stories, the kid has a cell phone, and he's talking on the cell phone all night under the bed, you know, just constant cell phone, and then they get brain cancer. So, I mean, that EM radiation and brain cancer are highly correlated. And that, especially because a lot of that, when it is, you know, when you're young and your cells are dividing, you know, normally the DNA is wrapped up in a ball, you know, in the nucleus, and it's not really accessible. But when you go through meiosis and the DNA separates, it kind of separates out. You've probably seen the pictures where the centrals pull the DNA apart. Well, when it's stripped out like that and open, it's really vulnerable to electromagnetic radiation, which can unzip the DNA, cause damage, breaks in the damage. And then when it's doing that, then it goes together. It may not be corrected correctly. I mean, the mechanisms. And so that causes, especially with young children or young animals, especially growing seedlings, it causes really massive DNA damage, which cause mutations, bring cancer, and just all around bad things happen.
Well, I just did a show with energy weapons, and low frequency waves can change people's thoughts and feelings, and it cause brain damage. Now, in that frequency range, there are some weapons that can cause damage in the 5 gigahertz that can do some things. Now, how does that relate to energy weapons, and can they use it for that purpose?
Well, you can't really use, well, you can use 5G for an energy weapon if you get really close to the person, but it wouldn't work because that's one of the problems with 5G. They found that one 5G cell, the cell repeater, like the cell phone tower repeaters, one 5G repeater could only cover like 12 apartments in an urban setting. That's it. One repeater can only, and after that, it gets so weak because there's water in the atmosphere. So, I mean, you couldn't really do a 5G military weapon, because if you aimed at the enemy like a quarter mile away or a half mile away, most of the energy would get sucked up by the water molecules.
That's good.
And yeah, so you can't really use 5G. And now, if you got really close to somebody, or for instance, they could take over your router and put like bad, you know, frequencies or specific frequencies to damage you in a router and do it that way. But there's another thing that people don't talk about, the studies. A lot of these EM studies, they have a constant level of radiation, which is bad, you know, and it shows damage. But 5G doesn't do that. It's like your smart meters. What they do is 5G sends out packets of information. It's not a constant stream of gigahertz frequencies. They load it up, and then there's a packet of information, then another packet. So they have these high energy pulses one after another. And they really haven't done a lot of studies on that, which that basic principle is a lot more damaging than a constant stream. It's like bam, bam, bam. And so you don't have, instead of a constant flow. And so it's by other studies on similar phenomena, it would cause a lot more damage per energy. So say we could, you know, we only put X amount of energy and we only saw this damage. Well, if that was just a small stream and then you had put that same amount of energy in packet pulses, it could cause 10, 20, 30 times more damage. You don't know. And that's really a potential. And so you have to really study the real conditions, not some study that doesn't,
Could it be used as a weapon on over time?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It could be like, we're going to create cancer in this segment of the population, and it might take 2 months. It's not.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
No, it will. It's actually going to be devastating. It's a devastating technology. I mean, they've found, especially in cataracts, that's kind of, I'll bring to the C60. C60 is working with cataracts. We actually have a study. I'll get on that later. But they found even low levels of gigahertz radiation over a period of time would cause like cataracts in rats and then the cancers. And if you look at the actual energies that people are going to be exposed to with 5G and you compare it to what they already know, the damages that are found in animal studies, there's going to be like huge amounts of cataracts, huge amounts of cancers. Now, when you think about 5G, because it's a microwave radiation, it gets absorbed. Most of that 5G radiation, 90%+ is going to get absorbed in your skin or in the lenses of your eyes where cataracts can happen. It doesn't penetrate very deeply, especially sweat glands are actually like little helical things. They actually act like antennas and because they're full of sweat, right? And they just kind of absorb that energy and bring it in to damage the body even more. And so, yeah, you're going to have like huge amounts of skin cancers, huge amounts of cataract increases, and all these other things. And it's going to come fast. It's going to come within 2 or 3 years of people living in a 5G environment. And then the lawyers are going to get involved. And there'll be no way, really, that they'll be able to deny this. They've been able to get away. It's like asbestos, but we know it's bad before it happens. You know, we know 5G is going to happen. So it's going to happen. People are going to get cataracts. They're going to get skin cancers, huge amounts of them. I mean, just terrible things are going to happen. And then they're going to go to their lawyers, and the lawyers are going to sue. And, I mean, if you've got investments in 5G technology, you're going to learn their shirts. It kind of reminds me of Johns Manville and with the asbestos things. I mean, the company totally was taken over and all of its assets given to the people who sued because the damage was so huge. And so that's going to happen with 5G. They may try to suppress it, but it'll be so obvious. And
well,
so
yeah. You can't. Once the lawsuits start happening, it's over. So
yes. What
can people do in the meantime? What does C60 do to counteract that?
Okay, well, one of the biggest things is cataracts. That's they found in animal studies, 5G caused cataracts really, really rapidly. And actually, that's one of the things. We actually, C60 Purple Power is sponsoring a scientific study by a doctor on the effects of C60 and cataracts, because we've just got dozens and dozens of reports back from our customers saying, my cataracts disappeared within, you know, like a month or 2 months or whatever. And you know, you certainly heard my story about how I got rid of my macular degeneration. And the Max and that doctor that you interviewed, it got rid of her basic macular degeneration. I have other people, I get that, but it also works great in cataracts. So we're doing that study. And one of the biggest effects of 5G is cataracts. So that's going to be the first thing people notice, just this huge increase in cataracts. And so we found that, you know, C60 appears to protect and actually reverse cataracts. In fact, I don't know anything else that does. And so, especially in a very short period of time, just a few months at the longest. And
which
so
is amazing. Can I ask you a question? It's not, you know, I had Dr. Karim on who does some stuff with Earth's energy and he's figured out how to do some things to counteract things as well. But one of the things he said is 5G is bad, but that's just a part of the equation because we have electronics and smart meters and phones and all sorts of things, wireless communication. We have not just 5G, but other wireless. We have a ton of things that are bombarding us on a daily basis. Now, C60 works to resolve all of this, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, yeah, exactly. Especially it's like on the, because the retina is actually part of the brain. And that's also, C60 seems to work really well with people with brain conditions. And we see that in the retina because the retina is actually physically part of the brain. It actually grows out of the brain into the eyes. And so it's part of the brain. So we can visibly see that, you know, with the retina, but it also appears to be working throughout the brain. So all that damage to your brain, but that would be more 4G because 5G isn't going to really go into your brain. It's just going to damage your skin or your eyes because it can't penetrate through that. And, there's one other thing that people can do for 5G. You know, C60 is fine, but, you know, you're still going to have problems and maybe you can't afford it or don't want to do that. But they found out, you know, one of the things for problems with 5G is the UV protective film you put on your windows to stop the UV light from comes in almost completely blocks 5G.
So your phones won't work.
Yeah, exactly, because of your windows covered. But that's a good thing for you. Like, let's say you did want to make your, you can actually go down to the hardware store and buy that UV blocking plastic film that you kind of peel it out and it sticks onto the window. Well, if you really wanted to, you want to make a 5G safe room, you could just go down to the hardware store and buy that and like just do the walls and the ceiling and the floor and the door in your bedroom. And you could make like a 5G proof room in your house, best your bedroom, I would imagine. And where if you're in a 5G environment and you can't really do anything about it, you can actually create a room in your house pretty cheaply with that UV blocking film. And because you can just peel it off and stick it to the walls, the paint, it won't be too pretty, but you will have a 5G safe room where 5G can't get to you because you've blocked it out with that UV blocking film that you can buy at the hardware store.
Well, let's talk about for your skin. C60 applied directly to your skin, I'm hearing, deals with wrinkles, takes care of wrinkles, takes care of age spots, all sorts of things. Now, does the oil that you put it in matter? Because doesn't it need to penetrate? You need an oil that's going to be really receptive to penetrating deep, right?
Oh, that's exactly why I used avocado oil and coconut oil. I had originally started using things like, you know, when I first got into C60, I was trying to use olive oil preparations. And I'm a little sensitive to oils, and you know, olive oil, if you took like a shot of olive oil, you'd be in trouble. You'd be visiting the bathroom very soon. It has a very, and it's the amount of oil that you absorb is because the oil carries the C60. And so avocado oil is like one of the most digestible oils or absorbable oils. And you can see that if you put like, you could put like a patch of olive oil or avocado oil on your skin versus olive oil, you'll find the avocado oil will absorb much faster than the olive oil. Olive oil isn't very well absorbed by skin at all. And since the gut inside of you is actually part of your skin, and when the embryo turns itself inside out, you're actually, your guts and the skin are the same, come from the same organ family. They're relatives in a sense. So if your oil doesn't absorb on your skin, it's not going to absorb in your gut. And so, and that's, coconut oil is good too, for other reasons. So that's why I have it in coconut oil and avocado oil and not olive oil, because it's poorly digested. And yeah, Max and stuff, you've probably seen the pictures with Max, and just does amazing things with wrinkles. Max looks like 10 years younger. It's amazing.
Yeah, and they've been doing a lot of studies on what it does to your skin. But, you know, for a woman that is used to getting, you know, a little bottle, you know, if you get a bottle, you're one of your, how many ounces does your bottle come?
I have 4/8 and 16s.
Okay, so how much is a 4 or 8 ounce bottle?
We got 4 ounces or $97.
Okay. So people who are used to getting beauty cream, a 4 ounce bottle for $97, that, you know, most of the bottles are 2 ounces, and yeah, you know, $45 for $50 for a beauty cream. That's not that expensive compared to how good it works for you. Cause you know, I've been thinking about a lot right now. I've been testing some stuff, C60 on my face using Max sent me some things. And I'm pretty pumped about it. I use it every day, and I'm thinking, well, gosh, I should try coconut. I'm going to try a couple different oils. I'm going to try your coconut oil on directly to my face, because I think there's also an oil that is the closest to your skin. And I'm going to set, I think it's linseed oil. I can't remember. I wish I would have wrote it down.
Yeah, it's linseed oil and like flax oil. Those are good oils too, but the problem is they go rancid very, very rapidly.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of the reasons why I have, because you have to make a compromise. Like coconut oil, for instance, will never go rancid. It's a fully saturated oil, short chain triglycerides. So you don't even need to worry about that ever. You can leave it on the shelf for years, literally.
But I've heard the C60 helps it not go rancid.
Oh, yeah, that helps also. It gets rid of oxidative radicals. But if there's no oxygen in there to radicalize in the first place, well, a lot of the oils, like most of the oils you see, they came with the dicots or monocots. They have coconuts from the grass family, but most other oils come from another plant families, and they have double carbon bonds in them. That's where you get the 3, 6, 9 omega oils, and those are double carbon bonds, and that's where it oxidizes, right there in the on those double carbon bonds. And so, but you know, one of the reasons why avocado oil is so easily digested, actually, in its fat profile, it's very close to human breast milk. So the body's kind of digested, you know, human breast milk has lots and lots of different types of fats, but in that fat profile, that's where it's at. So that's one of the reasons I used it. And I mean, I just basically tested things out on myself and found what worked for me and other people, friends and family. And then I decided that's why the oils I would use, because those were the best.
That's awesome. Okay, Ken, will you stick around and answer a question from my patrons?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much. This has been really great. And of course, we're going to have you back. Ken, the scientist, you're going to educate us on all sorts of science.